From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, will be along to look at the cash grain market, and we'll discuss with both of them tomorrow morning's USDA grain stocks report. Should be a big one. If you have not signed up for our newsletter yet, please do so. We'll send that out a bit later this evening, and then you'll get those numbers right there in your mailbox early tomorrow morning by just clicking a link. It's all ease of use and all about willag.org. That's what you're listening to right now. Of course, this is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on a Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat settlement priced at $8.55 and a half, and the December down 13 3/4. July futures at $8.35 3/4 finished 10 1/4 lower on its settlement price. The hard red in Kansas City at $8.72 down 10 3/4. Back in Chicago from the corn pit for the day, December futures, 7:15. This is a close, but not a settlement price. The close down 9 3/4. The March at 7:19, 9 1/2 lower. The May at 7:14, down 12 3/4. And July corn at $7.11 1/2, a dime lower. September at 6:32, down 12 1/2. And next year's December, down 5 cents at $6.14 a bushel in the corn pit. From the bean pit, November contract, $15.70 3/4, down 2 1/4 for the day. January at $15.71 1/4, 3 cents lower. The March at $15.24, settlement price there, down 7 3/4. In the May at $14.79, down 9 1/4. July beans, $14.60, down 10 cents. And November beans of next year at $13.15 1/2, a settlement price down 5 3/4. All the bean numbers were settlement prices today. October bean meal at $4.73.60, down $1.50. October bean oil at $52.15. That's up 50 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures, October at $122.45, up 22 1/2. December at $125.17 1/2, 42 1/2 higher. September feeders down to 17 1/2 at $143.27 1/2. And the October futures at $146.22 1/2, 12 1/2 cents higher for the feeder cattle. Lean hogs, October at $77.22 1/2, up 35 cents. This, of course, is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby contract in the crude oil trading at $92.12 a barrel, up $2.14. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $3.14 1/10. That's up 6 cents on the day. Ethanol in the nearby at $2.22 1/2, down 0.2 cents. The difference between the two is 91 6/10 cents. That's a 6 2/10 cent greater spread than yesterday, and keeps getting better for the use of ethanol in the gasoline market. Natural gas November beans are natural gas trading at $3.28 1/2. That's up 7 cents. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.16 2/10, up 5 1/2 cents for the day. Gold futures trading at $1,779.10 an ounce, up $26.80. And the U.S. dollar down 3.4 at 79.54. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. They're calling for sunny skies and a high near 73 degrees on a north-northeast wind at about 6 miles an hour. And then tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 47 with a light north wind. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a low, high of 73 on a northeast wind at 3 to 6. And then tomorrow evening, mostly clear and a low of 47. Saturday, sunny and 72, calm winds. Saturday night, mostly clear and a low of 49. Sunday, sunny skies and 71. Sunday night, mostly clear and 45. And on Monday, sunny skies and 74 degrees. Monday evening, mostly cloudy and 51. Tuesday, sunny and 76. Tuesday night, mostly clear and 54. And on Wednesday, sunny skies and a high near 80 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us from Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Swicker at CGB Enterprises. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace this week, and maybe not the fundamental side, but let's start with what you see in the technical side and what the charts are telling you as we head into tomorrow morning's grain stocks report.
Well, I think both markets are both corn and soybeans are terribly oversold, but they're to the point where they've kind of flatlined a little bit, and this is what you get when you get into extremely bearish situations or extremely bullish situations. A lot of your technical indicators will just kind of flatten out at the bottom end or the top end. They're more useful when you're in more of a swinging type market, and you can kind of see here over the past 4 weeks or so, we've been in kind of a steady grind down in both prices on corn and soybeans. Take corn for the first shot. I think the lead option corn, and of course this in this case would be December corn, probably has downside vulnerabilities yet somewhere between 697 and 706. The reason I say 697 is that is a 50% retracement of the lead futures advance this summer, and corn has a strong tendency to retrace 50% of previous moves. So that's, you know, kind of what I'm kind of looking at here. We've been as low as, I think, 14 today. I think today's low. Well, actually, today's low is 11 and three quarters. So we are, you know, kind of within 10 to 15 cents of some of those objectives. So we are getting pretty close to them. Tomorrow's report, I'm not too sure, makes a lot of difference. I'm sure the trade will react to them. But the one that I think has more teeth in it and gives the trade a better understanding of what's going on is probably the October crop report, because we're going to see acreage adjustments and we're going to see a lot more yield data that USDA will be able to look at to kind of give us a little better idea what the yield is. But we'll see how the trade reacts tomorrow morning on it. But I think corn is zeroing in on some prices in here that ought to find some pretty good support. Time-wise, I'm kind of looking at sometime next week for the market to maybe kind of have an upturn of some kind. Tomorrow's report may have a lot to say about that. Soybeans is the lead futures contract is sitting at the 50% retracement of the summer advance. But 50% levels don't necessarily hold up as well in the soybean complex. Soybean complex has a tendency to either find support at a 38% retracement and or 62%. The 62% on a lead futures chart is down here around $15. So just kind of looking at the downside price vulnerability of lead November soybeans, I do think there is some price vulnerability, maybe of upwards of 50 cents, depending upon how USDA handles these better than expected yields that we're hearing about as soybean harvest moves north and to the west. We're hearing some pretty decent yields. Now, the demand picture is strong enough in soybeans to gobble up, I think, additional supplies. But what it does is it reduces the real severity of rationing of supplies. So we'll have to see how the market. But this is a place for beans to maybe kind of hold in here. Again, I'm looking more at next week sometime for an upturn to take hold. But that's just kind of fine-tuning things.
We know that the numbers for export have been very good, and by mid-September, more than 76% of the bookings USDA was expecting for export had already been made. Can you see that slowing down at all from your vantage point there at the port?
We're pretty much the main player until South America begins to come back online, and you know they're not going to have any significant inventory until you get into March, April, May. That's why I think you know a larger supply or a larger production of soybeans will be gobbled up, and we'll probably still end up with the carry out down around 115. So the current balance sheet basically tells you if the production holds that we'll run out of inventory sometime by late winter, early spring. Well, we know that's not going to happen because the function of the market is to ration that inventory. So, but the price action here over the past 3 weeks or so basically is telling us that probably supplies are a little larger than what the market is working, and maybe the real severe need to ration inventory is not quite as bad as what everybody was thinking maybe a month or 2 months ago, Todd.
Mm.
That's why I think, you know, tomorrow's numbers could be screwed up a little bit, mixing old crop and new crop together. That's what everybody's fearful of. And that kind of just leads us to believe we may not really know what kind of supply we actually produce until we get halfway through the marketing year and take a look at the March number. We'll have another December 1st number, and then we'll have one in March. We'll be halfway through the marketing year, and that'll when we'll be able to really fine-tune, I think, what actually we produced. So I think a lot of these reports are going to have some volatility in them and some surprises in them. But October is usually the one that kind of throws down the marker for surprises, and I guess I would be braced for something like that. I think that report's like October 12th or something like that. So we got a couple weeks yet for that one.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org, or just dial this number, 217-333-3434. About 3:15 each and every day, we post a bit of the analysis segment from the Closing Market Report and the closing numbers to that little mobile analyst portal, just voicemail. We do it at 10:15 in the morning with the opening numbers from the open outcry pit as well. So if you're interested in that, you can dial this number, 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey will be here in just 20 seconds with today's update of the Agricultural News.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Up next, your...
In agricultural news, U.S. senators from Illinois, Missouri, and Iowa have sent a letter to the Environmental and Public Works Committee saying the Mississippi River's locks and dams suffer from a troubling lack of upkeep and urgently need upgrades. Workers closed a lock just north of St. Louis near Granite City, Illinois, last week to make emergency repairs to a towering metal cylinder that helps guide barges. The lawmakers pointed out that temporary repairs idled hundreds of barges, stalling shipments of everything from grains to coal, fertilizer, and construction materials that typically make their way to points north and south and often overseas. Roughly half of the nation's farm exports pass through that Granite City lock. Coast Guard and Army Corps of Engineer officials estimated that the closure of the lock cost the shipping industry about $2 million to $3 million a day in lost revenue. U.S. poultry groups have given their full backing to Mexico's inclusion in a Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, but say Canada should not be allowed to join unless it fully opens its market to imports. In testimony to U.S. trade officials, representatives from the National Chicken Council and USA Poultry and Egg Export Council said they unconditionally support Mexico's participation in the proposed TPP, but said the industry strongly opposes Canada's participation unless Canada expressly commits to removing all border restrictions on poultry imports from the U.S. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is continuing to accept comments and to hold hearings on whether to enlarge the circle of nations negotiating the TPP to include both Mexico and Canada. The S&P Dow Jones Indices said Wednesday that Kraft Foods Group, which is being spun off from Kraft Foods Incorporated, will replace Alpha Natural Resources Incorporated on the S&P 500. Kraft Food Group is a food and beverage business based in Northfield, Illinois. The change will take effect after the market closes next Monday. Commodities trading giant and food processor Cargill says it is among the victims of a long-running fraud in renewable energy credits. Cargill has sued Broker International Exchange Services in Manhattan federal court, saying it purchased biodiesel credits from the broker that were invalid. It said IES breached its contract and violated the Clean Air Act by selling the invalid credits and then refusing to correct the transaction. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Our guest this week on that second program will be Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group. We record at 4:30 Friday afternoons. Be sure to tune in on Saturday morning on many of these radio stations or to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week there by about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, Central Time, USA.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Up next, you're fully aware that the price of soybeans has tumbled dramatically over the last several sessions, and many have been looking for good reasons why. Ag economist Daryl Good has a few of them. November 2012 soybean futures were within a breath of $18 in early September. Last week, they nosedived, despite the mid-September USDA report showing a smaller national yield and crop. It has the trade concerned and wondering and wandering as it relates to marketing decisions. It is a confusing development. Still, there are some fundamental reasons for this decline in the price of the soybean, thanks to University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. First, the National Oilseed Processors Association report of the size of the domestic crush by its members in July was a bit smaller than expected. Secondly, reports of an economic slowdown in China. China is, after all, the largest consumer and importer of soybeans, accounting for some 28% of world consumption and 64% of world trade. Expectations of a larger South American soybean crop in 2013 are a third issue. It provides a threat to the demand for U.S. soybeans in the last half of the 2012-13 marketing year. Add to those three what looks like a better soybean crop than USDA predicted in September, and you come up with substantial pressure for the market to move lower, says Daryl Good.
The USDA's weekly crop progress report showed only 10% of the U.S. acreage harvested as of September 16th, but the market seems to be spooked by reports of yields exceeding producer expectations. The USDA will provide a new yield forecast in the October 11 crop production report. The September report forecast the U.S. average yield at 35.3 bushels, 8-tenths bushels below the August forecast. It is not unusual for a lower yield forecast in September to be followed by a higher forecast in October.
For instance, in 2004, the soybean yield increased 3.5 bushels to the acre from the September USDA crop production report to its October accounting. The average increase is 1.3 bushels. The October report will also provide an update of planted and harvested acreage of soybeans.
The current estimate of planted acreage of 76.08 million is 1.6% larger than the USDA's Farm Service Agency report of planted acreage by program participants. That ratio is consistent with the previous 4 years, suggesting little change in the NAS acreage estimate. The current forecast of harvested acreage relative to planted acreage is consistent with 2012 growing season weather.
While soybean fundamentals have turned somewhat negative, there have been some positive developments too, says Darrell Good. First, early season weather in South America has not been perfect. Second, export sales of U.S. soybeans for delivery during the 2012-13 marketing year were reported at 779 million bushels as of September the 13th. That's a record level of sales for this time of year and represents nearly 74% of USDA's projection of exports for the year. 61% of the sales are to China, by the way, and 23% are to unknown destinations, so there is some concern about cancellations of some sales if prices continue to decline. And finally, he thinks there's a third positive development in the decision by U.S. EPA to increase the minimum biodiesel production from 1 billion gallons in 2012 to 1.28 billion gallons in 2013. That increase will likely require an additional 2 billion pounds of vegetable oil, or about 7% of total U.S. vegetable oil consumption in the 2011-12 marketing year. Naturally, a soybean price rally would not be expected at harvest time, particularly if the USDA confirms prospects for a larger crop. However, the ongoing tightness of supplies and the need to further ration consumption should provide some underlying price support, thanks Darrell Good, through the end of the calendar year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Matt Bennett from TGM is on the phone line this afternoon. Matt, have you been busy or have you slowed down there because you're so far along?
Kind of slowed down, especially with the weather this week. It's been pretty desolate around here other than guys coming in to settle up and getting settlement sheets for insurance purposes and so on. So there's a lot of beans that I think are going to be ready to cut here in the next day or two, and I assume that, you know, in 14 days we may be done with harvest. So it'll be pretty quick, I think.
It would be quick. Are they hopeful that the beans have gotten better since September the 1st?
I think most guys are thinking the beans are significantly better than what they thought they were, you know, like August 1st, of course. And I think that the guys that have been out in the field, according to their yield monitors and so on, have been pleasantly surprised somewhat. You know, I mean, they're looking at maybe some 30s and 40s instead of, you know, 15 to 20 type situations. So it'll be really interesting once we get a little farther into this to see how bean yields pan out.
The market has broken pretty far. Are you satisfied that we're down far enough, or do we have more to go?
Well, I think whenever you look at this thing, and we're coming into the end of the quarter here, you know, end of the month, I mean, there's a lot that's going to happen in the next couple trading sessions. And so I'm kind of thinking we're probing a little bit right at this stage. If we come out tomorrow and have a really bearish reaction to whatever the numbers are, I guess I'd be pretty concerned if we dipped under $7 on the Dease corn. But, you know, I think that we're probably looking for some areas of support in here. And I think the holding 7, you know, 10, 7, 12 today, I guess, was a pretty good sign. So,
your bids for the day?
Oh, cash corn, 727. Jan would be 730. And then on beans, 1563. And Jan would be 1571.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM. Joins us from Windsor, Illinois on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, but we'll take a complete look at the weather forecast. Agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt should join us.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Pancake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1754, Joseph Louis Prost was born, a French chemist. In 1799, he extracted sugar from grapes and proved it to be identical to sugar extracted from honey. In 1774, John Chapman was born, an American pioneer. Chapman is better known as Johnny Appleseed. He planted apple seeds across the Ohio River Valley area of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. In 1902, Levi Strauss died, an American inventor. He is known for creation of blue jeans. He originally planned to make canvas tents for miners in the California Gold Rush, but he soon found that durable pants sold better. Strauss opened a factory, improved the design by adding copper rivets at the stress points of his pants, and adopted a heavy blue denim material known in France as jeans. In 1914, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission was established. Its principal mission is promotion of consumer protection and prevention of anti-competitive business practices. And in 1953, sugar rationing ended in Great Britain. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us, meteorologist Pete Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Pete, thanks for taking the time today. We've had some rainfall in the immediate area. What can we expect over the weekend?
Well, I think we've got a really nice weekend coming and one that will continue right into next week. Showers will be very light and scattered mostly to the eastern portion of the region. And in the eastern Corn Belt, there'll be some showers in Ohio and Indiana and those areas, and maybe a few down toward the Ohio River Valley. But for the most part of the Midwest, we're looking for fairly dry weather, only some light sprinkles, as I said early on at times. Temperatures about normal, which mean that highs will be in the upper 60s to low to mid-70s. And then it warms up for the next week. A shift to cooler weather over on Sunday and into Monday will give way to warmer weather Tuesday through Thursday and Friday, and we'll actually see temperatures pushing 80 degrees again by the latter part of next week. And all of this without benefit of much in the way of moisture, just a few isolated showers maybe here and there, but nothing wet up. But beautiful week in store.
Can you draw upon your depth of wisdom as it relates to the weather and maybe look out over the next 6 months or so and give me an idea of what you think might happen after this drought year of 2012?
Well, generally speaking, you don't get droughts back to back. That's one good thing. There is a tendency for droughts to alternate in the Midwest as far as the growing seasons are concerned. You'll get periods like 1953 and 55, which were dry, but then you had 54 in the middle that was a moderately wet year, and you saw the same thing happen again in the 70s. You don't usually get drought years back-to-back. Having said all that, of course, there's nothing that I can see at this stage which points to that necessarily, except that we'll be in a El Nino pattern this coming season. I believe we've been in a La Nina for most of the early part of summer and up into midsummer, and then the pattern shifted. And so a shift in that general circulation pattern also points to a change in the tendency of the pattern for wet or dry. Right now we see moisture down south in Texas, Oklahoma, and across the southern states for the next few weeks, dry mostly in the Midwest. And I think the thing we worry about now is to see about getting enough moisture to get the winter wheat germinated properly from Kansas on northward into Nebraska and across northern Missouri and into parts of Illinois. We're looking at a dry pattern. The planting's on schedule so far, but I'm a little concerned about getting a good stand before winter comes along.
Thanks so much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market
Support
Report.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And from Common Ground Food Co-op, now at Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. Learn more on their website at www.commonground.coop.